Once there was a chief who became suspicious that not everybody in his village was loyal to him. He suspected even that some within the village might be plotting to try to remove him and put in his place a new and different chief. He worried very much about it until one day he went to the village witch doctor to try to formulate some plan about what to do about this. The witch doctor presented him with a special poison and said to him, "I have prayed to our ancestors and to the spirits over this poison, and I can assure you that all those who drink from this poison and are loyal to you will be fine. But all those who drink from this poison and are not loyal to you, they will perish." So the chief thanked the witch doctor, paid him very handsomely for it, bought enough for the whole village, took it with him, and called a meeting in the village the next day. He brought all the villagers towards him, and in the middle of the village was this big pot and several cups to take from it. And the chief announced, "I suspect that not all of you are loyal to me. I've determined that everyone in this village is to take some of this drink and go with them home tonight and to drink from it. And I assure you that when you drink from it, if you are loyal to me, you'll be safe and you'll be unharmed. But if you are not loyal to me, then you will perish." The next day, the town assembled, and the chief was surprised that all those that he loved and trusted the most weren't there. But instead, everybody that he was most suspicious of was there at the meeting, including the witch doctor. And he didn't know what to make of it. Well, what really happened was that those who were disloyal to him disobeyed his wish. They didn't drink the poison. Why should they drink the poison? They didn't obey him, they didn't listen to him, and the promise was that if you drink from this and you're not loyal to me, you'll perish. So not a single one of them drank from it. Those who were loyal to him, though, and trusted him that they would be fine, they did drink from it, and they were poisoned. And of course, the witch doctor knew all along the truth of the matter, so obviously he didn't drink from it either. That's a story that I heard in Bible college, and it stuck with me. The actual original intent of the story, I'm drawing something else from it here, but I still love the original intent, so I want to share it as an aside, is that we need to be careful about testing people. Sometimes we come up with an idea about somebody, you know, maybe somebody doesn't love us as much as we think that they should, or maybe somebody's not as loyal as we think that they should be. And a lot of times people will craft some kind of test to test such a person. But we are not like God, and we don't have perfect knowledge, and these tests can fail. So remember that if you ever are thinking about testing somebody. What I want to draw from it today, though, is the chief wasn't as wise as he thought he was in the end. He was tricked and deceived by the witch doctor, thinking himself wise. Many people consider themselves to be wise. I remember sitting in a Sunday school class one time, it was a few years ago, and my Sunday school teacher said another thing that really stuck with me. I think his wife was teasing him about how he always thought that he was correct about everything. And so he said, "Well, I have a hard time operating under the assumption that I'm wrong." Fair enough point. Any of us who are going about through our days, we don't walk around thinking of ourselves wrong all the time. If we did think that we were wrong, we'd correct it and go try and make ourselves correct somehow. So most of us tend to think we are correct. But in fact, as we all know, people are not always correct. They just think that they are always correct. And even less people have true biblical wisdom. And those who do have wisdom can have between one of two different kinds of wisdom that we'll be exploring in our text today. One is a heavenly wisdom that comes from above, and another is an earthly, unspiritual, demonic wisdom. As we look in the passage of James today, we'll see what heavenly wisdom looks like, and it might surprise us because it's not so much a matter of intelligence and knowledge and these sorts of things that we often associate with wisdom, but it's more a matter of knowing and doing what is good. It's action. Wisdom has everything to do with good and godly actions. So our text, we're in James chapter 3, picking up verses 13 to verse 18. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Similar to faith, wisdom is something that is demonstrated or proved by good works. So again, anybody can claim that they might have wisdom. Just like the claim earlier of somebody who says, "I have faith," James says here as well with wisdom, let him show his wisdom through good conduct. Let him not act like a foolish person. Let him do wisdom. This shows us that wisdom is not the same thing as intelligence or knowledge, because you can have intelligence and do no good works. And you can even use intelligence for doing powerfully evil works. Some of those who are most intelligent are able to use it for the greatest evils. Most criminals aren't intelligent, but some of them are highly intelligent and very good at it. So intelligence doesn't necessarily translate into good conduct, but wisdom is all about good conduct. Similarly, you can have knowledge and do no good works. That's easy enough to do if you just become a hermit and live in your home and read books all the time. You'll know a ton, probably more than anybody else who's out and about doing some things, but if you aren't out working, serving, loving, so forth, you're not demonstrating good conduct and wisdom. You have knowledge, but something different from heavenly wisdom. But wisdom has everything to do with our actions. And if you just read the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom, and the book of Proverbs is all about do this, don't do that, here is wisdom, here is not wisdom, if this happens, this is what you should do. It's all about knowing the good and how to do the good. Wisdom is knowing the good and knowing how to do the good. And wisdom is meek, it says, in the weakness of wisdom. And wisdom is meek, again, because wisdom is good. It's good conduct. Meekness is good conduct. To have boastfulness or arrogance or cruelty to others, that can be a fruit, potentially, of intelligence or knowledge, but it's not a fruit of true heavenly wisdom. It's good to have intelligence. It's good to have knowledge. The Lord can and does use these things for great and wonderful things. But better is having heavenly wisdom. And you can have heavenly wisdom without an abundance of intelligence or knowledge behind it. I keep saying heavenly wisdom, Because as it turns out, there's two different kinds of wisdom. And James first describes the negative kind of wisdom in verse 14 to 16. He says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." So there's another kind of wisdom, which James calls earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. And this kind of wisdom is manifested most especially in bitter jealousy and selfishness. And the fruit, where you can recognize that this is maybe happening in your life or in the lives of others, the fruit that comes about by this kind of wisdom is disorder and vile practices. This kind of wisdom knows the bad and knows how to do the bad. And it's very fitting that this kind of wisdom is called demonic, because bitter jealousy and selfish ambition were the sins that brought Satan down in particular. These were like the primeval first sins of the universe, was a selfish ambition and jealousy that entered into Satan's heart to become like the Most High and to take more for himself that was his due allotment. Satan was and still is the most powerful angel that was ever created. He was and is no longer the most good and beautiful angel that ever was created. But he wasn't satisfied with that. He became jealous of the recognition, the worship that God was receiving, and he wanted to become like the Most High and receive these things himself. He was filled with bitter jealousy, selfish ambition. So these things seem like maybe they're not such big deals. They're common to men. But these things brought the universe ultimately into sin, because after Satan fell, he brought with him many angels and tempted mankind as well to sin and follow him in his disobedience. This kind of wisdom, which devotes itself toward bitter jealousy and toward matters of selfish ambition, is not from God. It comes from the earth, and it's an unspiritual and demonic kind of wisdom. There's a certain allure to this kind of wisdom, too, because Adam and Eve fell for it and followed it. We are self-interested creatures. We look at what other people have, and we want it. You know, maybe they have a nicer home than we have, or maybe they are more attractive than we are, and we wish that we were more attractive, or maybe they have a better, smoother job than we have, and we wish that they had their job. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. We're all very familiar with that phrase. It's part of our nature to be self-interested and to look at things that we don't have and imagine, if I could just have these things, or if I could just have this change of circumstance, then it's going to be better, because it looks better, because it is better, it is bigger. So if I just get it, then it's going to be better for me, right? And so our hearts, though, get filled with this bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, and there's a kind of wisdom in that. There's a plodding toward advancement of oneself, a lot of thought that goes into manipulating and changing circumstances and doing this sort of thing to pursue and get what you were jealous of or ambitious about. Even kinds of vile practices such as thieving and murder come about because of this bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. I've been reading Roman history, a favorite of mine to read, and it's remarkable learning about what politics looked like in that century and just how free they were with killing each other all the time in their selfish ambition to the top. And you look at it as an outsider and you think, what foolishness. I always read it and I always wondered, why would anybody want to be the emperor of Rome? because you're probably only going to live about 5 years after that, and then somebody's going to kill you over it so that they can become the new emperor of Rome. But it happened over and happened over and happened over and over and over again because we deceive ourselves. We see that it's nicer, it's better, and we pursue it not realizing the damage that is caused by that kind of evil wisdom that is put forward in the pursuit of that. It's a little like a mirage. When you look down the road of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, you see, as you go down that road, it's like the colors become more and more enhanced the further down you look, and the houses and properties get bigger the more you look, and the praise from men gets bigger and louder the more that you look down that road. And so you think, okay, I'll take this road. I want those things. So you start walking down that road. But then you just, it doesn't work. As you're walking down it, the trees all around you still stay ugly. And you keep looking at the more and better beautiful things. And so you get that thing that you wanted, that you were jealous of and ambitious toward, but it wasn't what you thought it was. But you can look further down and you can see, but there, further down the road, there is the house that, or the nice thing that I thought it was. So I just keep going down this road, but it never satisfies us and never brings good things. Instead, it just brings the horrible feelings of jealousy, of selfishness, brings about disorder and vile practices as we pursue that selfish road. And it's all a horrible trap. It all looks very wise and better to go and pursue our selfish ambitions. But as anybody who's gone down that road knows, it just doesn't fulfill like we thought it would. The wisdom that is from below is selfish, and it doesn't fulfill its promises. But the wisdom that is from above is filled with good things, things that we want, things that we think we will get by pursuing selfish ambition, but interestingly, get them from pursuing heavenly wisdom instead. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So here again, as we look through this list of what heavenly wisdom looks like, it's not a list of accomplishments. It's not a list of the praise of men. It's not a list of areas of knowledge. It's not about intelligence. It's about knowing the good and doing the good. And first in the list, pure. It's the presence of good and godly things and the absence of things that are displeasing to God. So down this path of heavenly wisdom, of selflessness, of following God's ways, we find purity that everybody, I think, is familiar, especially if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, maybe you're not familiar with this feeling yet. But as a Christian, you are familiar with the feeling of guilt. To become a Christian, in a sense, needed to feel guilt over our sins and that sense of need to call out to our Savior in faith to Him to be saved. We know what guilt and sin and broken fellowship with God feels like, and it feels horrible. How much better is that feeling and knowledge that we are pure in God's sight? There's nothing wrong there. It's okay between us and God. And we are following and pure in His sight. A great feeling. Then it's peaceable. Peaceable, making peace with others, an inner peace inside of ourselves as well. It's gentle, not combative with other people. It's not a path that leads us toward fighting and tearing other people down like bitter jealousy and selfish ambition does, because the wisdom that is from above is following that golden rule of loving your neighbor as yourself. And so you treat other people with gentility. You're considerate, trying to avoid harming other people physically or with words, tying back again with peaceable and down to verse 18, those making peace. You enjoy more peace with other people when you pursue this way. It's open to reason. You're teachable, not prideful, not demanding your own way. When somebody comes to you with something to say, you consider it. You think, well, is that true? Is that not true? You don't just immediately shut it down and demand your own way. You don't look at other people's points as obstacles in your path toward your selfish ambition forward. They're no longer these threats and obstacles when people have a different opinion from you. So you can entertain it, be open to reason, and grow from it. Because, as we all know, we're not all right 100% all the time. We need to be open to reason because people have reason and truth to bring us many times if only we would listen to them. It's full of mercy, good, kind toward other people, not seeking vengeance, not holding grudges, doesn't go around trying to give people what they deserve and bring people down in some kind of quest for vengeance, but instead is merciful and forgiving. And again, this is a good feeling too. As all of us know, anger is just such a nasty feeling that just rots you from the inside. It's so much better and freeing to have mercy on other people. It's filled with good fruits, like the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, good works. Good fruits as in the things that we do, helping other people, going about and serving, simple things, opening the door for other people, giving, loving, saying kind words, encouraging. It's impartial. It doesn't love just some people. It loves your neighbor as yourself. A consistent approach toward loving and serving other people as a good Christian, not just those neighbors you prefer, or not just loving the people you stand to gain from. Because even those who are not believers, and even those pursuing this selfish ambition kind of wisdom, they're able to love people who will cause them benefit. That makes sense, because it will fulfill what we're bitterly jealous about and selfishly ambitious toward. But instead, we're impartial and love all, and we're sincere. We say what we mean what we say. We try to be men and women of our word, fulfilling our promises toward other people, honest and truthful. Finally, cream on top, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we have righteousness being reaped in our lives, the lives of others as well, by being these peaceable people and making peace with others. Interestingly, though, we see all these things. We know all of these things are good. The problem is this: looking down the path of heavenly wisdom also kind of acts a little bit like a mirage. Because when you look down the path of heavenly wisdom and loving other people and self-sacrifice and all these things, you see less praise from men coming. You see less personal advancement. You see less stuff, less things. You are having to give up the time that you wanted to spend watching your favorite television show or just resting or whatever. You have to give up that time to go and serve other people. And so when you look down this road, it doesn't look nearly as attractive as the road of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. So naturally speaking, for many people, even Christians, we struggle to do and obey God's word in good, godly, and pure wisdom. Because we look down this road, and there's a cross at the beginning of the road, and we have to pick up that cross and start going down what looks to be an awful, ugly road. But as we start going down the road, It operates in the reverse from the road of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Instead, as we go down it, things become more and more lovely, more and more beautiful. And we arrive at stuff that objectively is significantly of less earthly value than the stuff would have been down the road of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, but we have a lot more joy in it because we're thankful, because God has been showing us what it means to love and sacrifice and be like Christ in our lives, and we experience what it's like to be like Jesus, and we rejoice knowing that we're following in his footsteps down this much better road, and we gain better friends who are not all about bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, but are also walking down this road of selflessness and serving other people. And so from the outside looking in, it looks like the road leads downward. But when we start taking it, we realize it leads upward and it is a much better thing. I think that all of this is why the Bible says that we need to walk by faith and not by sight. Because if you walk by sight, well, sight tells us that you get more if you pursue you and your ambitions. We see that happening a lot. But by faith in the Word of God and trusting Him, having our eyes open, we start to see, no, that really doesn't work out very well at all, actually, after all. Instead, I'm going to trust and obey God, the one who has perfect wisdom, and follow His ways that are higher than our ways, and follow His knowledge that is better and higher than our knowledge. We have to trust God that His ways are higher and His ways are better. And when we do trust God and put into practice heavenly, godly wisdom, we find we reap wonderful fruits from that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would give each and every one of us heavenly wisdom. Help us, Lord, to have the eyes of faith, to deny ourselves those things that we are jealous about or ambitious towards, and instead pursue your wonderful will, trusting you that it will result in the peace and gentleness and good fruits that we so crave. Thank you, God, for your graciousness and patience towards us and your forgiveness toward us, even though we often are led astray and maybe go down one road for a little while and then get distracted and start going and being selfish again. But you are so patient in your correction of us. We love you, Lord. We pray that you would help us to keep this in mind as we go forward this week. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.